Okay, I've got 3 o'clock, and so I'd like to call to order the San Juan County Fire District Number 3 Commissioners Meeting. Do we have any additions or changes to the agenda? Not hearing any. I'd like to go to, are there any citizens' comments or correspondence?
We don't have any correspondence. We do have a couple other people that have called in. As a point of order, we may want to do a quick roll call for commissioners. So either you can do that or you can have me do it.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, so roll call for the board. Chair Cardinale?
Here.
Vice Chair Olson?
Here.
And Commissioner Colley?
Here.
All right, you have a quorum and you are ready. We have a few people that have joined. Last question was posed. If there's any citizen comments, we have no correspondence. Hearing none, if you just a moment, I will go ahead and mute everyone else. And I will try not to lose any of the people we don't want to lose. Okay, confirming. Vice Chair Olson, are you still on?
Yeah.
And Commissioner Colley, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Everyone else is muted.
Okay, let's go to the consent agenda. Commissioners, you had a chance to take a look at the minutes for the regular meeting of January 11th. Are there any corrections?
None from Colley.
Okay, having heard none, would someone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of the January 11th, 2022 meeting.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. So the minutes have been approved. Okay, we can move on to the bills and payroll. Chief?
Yeah, do you have any questions on bills and payroll? You did have two sets of bills that came in. You have a 13th month, which will be the only time you see this. Obviously, these are ones that were actually paid out of last year's budget. Those were ones that came in and or received. So you see that is listed as 13th month. You also have our January ones, which are sitting in front of you, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions you have on either 13th month or January 2022 bills before we move to payroll.
Albert, do you have any questions?
No, I have no questions. I've looked them over. They're fine.
Dwight, any questions from you?
No, just one out of curiosity. How many mattresses did we buy for that?
We got 4 mattresses for that and 4 new foundations for that.
And pillows, blankets.
Oh, and it also came with pillows, blankets, and everything else. It was a deal that they had originally. Numbers were coming in at about 6,000. We had budgeted 3 and they came in under budget for that and were able to get it delivered in last year's where it was budgeted, so we didn't need to roll any.
Okay, that was just a curiosity because I know how much mattresses can cost.
Yeah, they did a good job finding that and getting it delivered.
Thank you.
And the old one for 22, almost 22 years old.
Right. Right.
That'll save a few backs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Some were even saying, no, I thought the mattresses were fine till they laid on the new ones. And now they said, oh, I see what it is now. So they're very pleased with the new mattresses.
I just have a question about the overtime and the health incentives.
So you want to move on to payroll?
Oh, I'm sorry. if that's the next item?
Payroll is next.
Let's talk about payroll.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so how is the overtime and the health incentive compare to where we've been in the past?
Overtime is under. As we've been going along, and the health incentive program, as you know, we budgeted an amount and I want them to have to make me come ask you for more. That gauntlet is still down. I haven't had to ask for more, so we are under budget with our health incentive program. And that is for participation in the workouts, right? So the other component of the health incentive program is the annual physicals, the new hire physicals, whether you're a volunteer or a career person. So those are all directly in line. It's just we need to continue to encourage people to do the workouts when Chris Havel offers them.
So the good thing is that we're under budget. The bad thing is that we don't really want to be.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. That is correct.
Thank you.
Just another point of curiosity. Now that Dr. House has changed his whole billing procedure and you have to be on his, that his whole new way of doing business, are we still going to use him?
Yes, and he maintained the records and the agreement with us going forward to be our physician of record for our firefighters and support members, yes.
Okay, good.
So just to carry on that same conversation, we have a contract with Dr. House, correct?
Correct.
So this his new billing system or his change in the way he's accepting insurances and stuff doesn't affect.
That is correct, because we're not using insurance with him. This is a secondary contract that we got into him to maintain the physical records for our employees or volunteers.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. That's the bills and payroll?
That's bills and payroll, and if you want to do a motion to approve those, that would be great.
Great. So do I have a motion to approve the bills and payroll?
I'll move to pay the bills and the payroll as it appears in the documents that were presented to us, yes.
Okay, and do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion, I have a second. Is there any comments? Okay, hearing none. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it looks like they're doing a good job of keeping it under budget.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we're trying for. Okay, I have a motion. So we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We have no new business, and I see we have no old business. So let's get to the staff reports.
Staff reports. We'll start with financials. One minor correction for you. It's listed as your target on the year to date of 0.083%. It's actually 8.3%. It's a matter of moving decimals and making it a percent and writing it out, or just writing it out as it came through. So the target that we're shooting for is 8.3%, because this is for the month of January. As you notice, the general fund on the revenues, it's light. We don't usually start seeing any of the tax funds coming in until March or so. So one of the things that staff is doing is watching, because we've had to make an adjustment from previous years. Normally we bring in or had brought in about $50,000 from the contract with the town. Well, now we don't have that. So if you look at January and February, we would have had an additional $100,000 into the budget, which we don't. So we won't see any of that coming in until March or so. And then you get the bigger bunch of money coming in April. So you're going to see that those general fund revenues are slightly low for the first couple months. What that means is that in our investment accounts, we just will move some of that up into operating funds to be able to pay payroll and pay budgets. This will be a transition from in the past, since we've now annexed those. So that's why you will see that the total income is slightly under where we were projected to be. Because of the beginning fund balances, but we are still healthy as it comes across. Expenditures, you can see that we are at 6% for our personnel expenditures, and we are at 4% for materials and services. Remember that check and balance is the capital projects, which is the 8%, and that's for the building or the apparatus loans that we have. So as you see, we are at 5% total for our expenditures, and also we are under budget for the beginning of the month, and everyone is in line. Going into specifics for financials for the month of January, you can see the total fund assets sitting at the total fund balances of $832,000, with liabilities at $165,000. Next page on the, that was the overview fund balances. You can see what is in general fund. Total between cash investments and LOSAP, $439,330. Reserve fund of $369,222. And then we always have that capital bond. That's our payment that we have going forward. I did do one adjustment on the revenue and expenses as we looked through all of them. The one thing that I saw that I thought would be a little clearer for all of you, I did add when you looked at the fund revenues, you will see that the first one of taxes, that's a standard line item. Protection services is the standard line item. And then for the other, I added in, since we kind of track everything overall and you see them broken into the individual funds, I did do general and reserve fund together on the revenues. Same thing down below, I added a new expense line item, so you see it on the summary piece for reserve fund capital. Those are some new additions to this year that I thought would make things a little clearer for everyone, even though we had reported on it. I thought this was a good snapshot that you would all have. So you can see where we are overall year to date and for the month of January. We'd be happy to answer any questions on the financials.
Albert, do you have any questions for the chief?
No, I do not. I'm fine.
Great. Okay. Dwight, anything on the budget?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. So I have one. Since the town is in pain and we're not getting that revenue until April or March?
It'll start coming in March. We look historically, that's when tax revenue comes in, correct?
So is this a one-year blip, or every January are we going to be looking at making up funds until they start coming in March and April?
Since this is the first one across, what I would anticipate is we're going to be able to see where the funds are, and we'll be able to project. So if you were to look at organizations that do, as opposed to calendar year, they do fiscal year. I think we're going to probably have a month or two of dry time spending, as opposed to the 6 months if you do a July through June. Mm-hmm. I think that we'll just be a little more conservative, but the difference is that we will have all the tax revenue comes in. So we will have a higher ending fund balance because we will have an increased revenue that comes in that November timeframe, as opposed to the monthly payments that we had come in. So to specifically answer your question, I think it's going to be a blend, right? We're going to have some dry time spending where we're going to be a little more conservative at the beginning of the year, but we're also going to have a greater amount that's going to be our rollover because we will have collected all the revenue coming in for that year. So it'll be a blend for the two, but it's a little more profound this year because of that transition of the monthly that went away at the end of the year. And then we're going to know, because we have both the annexation that's coming onto the books from the town, as well as the tax revenue coming in from the outer islands, which this is the first year we've had it as well, even though we've been planning some expenditures and have made some for those outer islands. They are officially in now from a taxing standpoint.
Great.
And Norman, once we get through this first half of the year, from then on, we won't have a problem. And, you know, and we've got plenty of reserves, so we'll be fine. But just this, the first, you know, we're not going to see a whole lot of money till May, because most people don't pay their taxes till the end of April. So May is going to be the big push, but we've got lots of reserve. We're fine.
Correct. And if you look at it, even with all of what we've paid so far through January, you've still got where we started out at $813,911 in total income and revenue. We're still sitting at $645,000. So we're fine if you look at our operating costs coming in until we get the additional tax revenue coming in. So to your point, Vice Chair, you're spot on that we're going to be fine, but we're just going to need to pay attention. Yeah.
I'm leery of us having to keep using that reserve and having it dwindle down.
Correct.
Through no fault of anybody's other than the fact that we don't get any money. But I also see that we might end up with additional funds at the end of the year, which may go back into the reserve to bring it back up.
By the end of the year, all that money will come in. Then we'll have a larger reserve by the end of the year than we normally have this year.
Right. Okay. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
So the thought would be we move some out of those interest-bearing asset accounts And then once we get back to a balance point, we're going to shuffle them back down into those accounts as to where they were. So they'll be a neutral. We just need to be sure that for these first couple months, we make sure that bills and payroll are covered. Right. And so we may need to dip into some of those asset funds. But as soon as we get back out to the balance point, we'll shift them back into those. Even though, as you've noticed, we got $0 in interest over the last couple months, period. And those should be some interest-bearing accounts.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why, nothing has come through. And we haven't got any money from the burn permitting either from last year. So I'm not sure if it's a finance piece, I don't know, but we've asked the question and we know that we've taken a hit in all of our interest. So we should be getting some, but we haven't gotten any. But to your point is, as soon as we get back into a little more revenue that comes in as projected, we will move things back into those investment accounts.
Do we have some ideas to what we're going to be getting from the city, the town?
Yes. I'd have to go back and look at specifics of what it is, but realistically, it was about, we were bringing in about $300,000 a year from the town revenue, and we had always kept up with exactly where we were from a contract standpoint. So we would anticipate approximately $300,000, $312,000 coming in from the town in tax revenue. And about $75,000 is what would be projected to come in from the Outer Islands.
Okay, we can easily use that for planning purposes.
Correct.
Okay, no more questions on the financials.
All right, at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Chief Monin for the operations.
Thanks, Chief. Not too much to report on for January. It was a relatively quiet month. It's to be anticipated based on our data. We know it's a quiet time of year. We had a total of 59 responses. 69% of those were EMS and rescue related. 31% of those were all other hazards and services. The average response per day was less than 2 per day, so 1.9 responses per day. We did have a notable reaction time event for the month, an average of 1 minute and 6 seconds. The crews were on top of it and they were out there quick. I would attribute part of that to some very quick reaction times because they're out and about doing things. They're doing maintenance in our outer facilities and doing inspections on fleet and doing things for the community like inspections and stuff. So they're out there busily working. They're staying busy doing their routines, and it shows in the reaction times when they respond quickly because they're at their rig and they're out doing stuff. By station area, there's a breakdown for you, but essentially it's no surprise we're seeing the headquarters getting the bulk of the calls. Roach Harbor is ratcheted down seasonally because it's the slow time of year for them. Average zonal travel times for the month of January, I've got for Central, you got 5 minutes and 12 seconds. That's station 31 and station 36. And for South, which is station 32 and 33, I've got 11 minutes, 29 seconds travel time. And then the North end, we got 17 minutes and 5 seconds. The averages are good for those, except Roach Harbor's a little bit slower. And I don't know what that is. It was a very low call volume. It could have been one call that was exceptionally long that would knock that into a longer duration. We get to get the happy announcement to share with you guys. We got a resignation from one of our part-time apparatus operators, Alan Arrowsmith, who got hired with Seattle Fire Department for full-time. He's out the door, and we went through a hiring process. We had seven applications, went through 6 interview processes, and we offered a full-time position to Tom Eats, who he has announced his resignation after 30 years of being a dispatcher at San Juan County Dispatch, and he's going to be starting with us in March 1st. Full time, and he's excited to be here, and I would say that we're all very happy to have him come on board. Other than that, I don't have a lot more to report. We're just kind of edging into the new year, spring, and carefully watching our as the tourist travel increases and we get start to get a little busier.
Okay.
Thank you. What I would like to echo on the Tom Eads appointment as our full-time person. Tom has over 33 years with the dispatch center, but his commitment to this community, he's held every rank, including an interim chief position for a while for the town of Friday Harbor. He's looking at continuing to serve for another 1 to 3 years. So what we've asked him to do is help us with some of the growth of some of our younger members, as well as with that time that he served the community. He has a ton of community and organizational knowledge that we want to, either by osmosis or otherwise, we want to be able to grab that from him. So what we've asked, even though he is a apparatus operator, we've asked him to help coach our younger members, our younger officers. It gives us some flexibility that when we have some new upcoming apparatus operators, he can work as officer in class, and then we can have some of our new driver operators learn under him as well. So we're excited that he's not only going to be able to provide that continuing service, but he's also going to be able to help grow the organization. And that will lead into one of the other pieces that I'm going to recommend that Chair Cardinale started, or at least alluded to, with the new addition of the town. We have some buildings and some financial pieces that you're going to want to have some dialogue about and give us some direction on how you want to handle those. So, for example, we have a very good relationship with the port. The port pays low or no taxes, but they still need fire protection. So we have a really good relationship. The headquarters land and the 2 acres behind, they're port property, but we get them out of a long-term ILA agreement, and that's how we provide the fire service protection for them for the port and otherwise. Well, there's some structures and some properties within the town that the town handled that had fire protection because it was in the town. Well, you're going to want to have some dialogue over how we handle that. In addition to wanted to have some dialogue over succession planning, some goal setting, and where we see the future, where you all see the future, and as we drive into that. So I'm going to make a recommendation that we set another work session. I would throw out a possibility of an April, early April, mid-April timeline, where we can get together and really have some deep conversations over finances, where you see the future, how you want this to go. Gives us some time to put things together, and lets us get settled into the year, but then moving forward, because staff is going to need some guidance from you all as where we want to go into the future. So if I can put that on hold for one moment and turn it over to Training Officer Kutzing to talk about where we are with training, the academy, and the like.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chief. Our training is on track, our competency base for our firefighters, our medical personnel. Everything's looking good. We're almost halfway through the first quarter. We have been concentrating on the Fire Academy, 8 new recruits, 2 of which are already had already been affiliated with the department as EMTs. Now they're looking to get cross-trained as firefighters as well. Everybody's progressing well. There's good attitude out there. All the chiefs have been involved in the presentation of materials. We've worked out the few little glitches at the beginning with our Zoom or team meetings. As we broadcast those across the 3 agencies involved. And then, so Chief Collins, Chief Bigby, Chief Williams have all been presenters, as well as Assistant Chief Monning. John McDowell's offered. We've had guest instructors. It's going very, very well. And the hands-on gets handled by the individual departments. Yeah, we're halfway through. Good attitudes showing. We've got people who are gung-ho. They've been here over and above and practicing their skills, and we're all very, very pleased with their progress. And I think that's really basically all I have to report on that. So if you have any questions, happy to entertain them.
Any questions from the other 2 commissioners on training?
No? I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. Definitely.
Lee. All right. Moving on.
Captain Lee.
Captain Lee.
Okay. So maintenance is on track for this time of the year. The UTV that we've been working on is almost done, ready to go. That's about all I have to say. Anything, any questions on maintenance, fleet?
Our rigs are now, how many years old? We've had them for?
2014 for the, new type ones you're talking, like, so 8 years.
8 years. And has the maintenance been pretty steady, or are you seeing more problems than in the past?
For the use that they're getting, I'm seeing a little bit more maintenance, but if it was like a normal fleet vehicle, it'd be very low maintenance right now, so that's what I'm noticing. There's little occasional maintenance issues that are unusual, but.
I just know that at some point, we're gonna have to start thinking about
replacement.
And while we, got a very good deal on these apparatus, and they worked out very well for us, we bought them all at once. And that's not
ideal.
So the nice thing is that they don't get a whole lot of use, so when the replacement time starts coming, I think we can safely say we can get one or two and at a time, and spread it out over a number of years, so that this doesn't occur again, where we're looking at six vehicles that are all with the same mileage and the same wear and tear on them.
Yeah, right now, I think mileage averaging, you're talking about 1,000 or 10,000 miles to about 6,000 miles. Engine hours, you're talking between 400 and 700 hours, and then pump hours about 100.
Okay.
That's kind of the average.
So what we'll do as we put those together is, you'll look at your crossover points with depreciating value. You'll look at increasing costs. What I will say is, I watch and work with Captain Lean on the fleet. I'm not seeing, there's no deferred maintenance on them. We're having a little bit of blips here and there on some corrective maintenance, which some of them, when you look at the number of hours of use, to my standpoint, that's a little higher than it should be. And I've asked Tad to reach out to some service people, because we're seeing a few things that with the number of hours shouldn't be happening. But I would say that the preventative maintenance schedule that we do on the apparatus is maintaining them well. That would be one of those other financial discussions that we have moving forward. Do know that we have been approached by the other two agencies, because there's a push to try to get consistency in the fleet across the county. And I know for Orcas, they're interested in buying one or two, and Lopez is interested in potentially buying one. So you could have some cost offsetting. We can have some dialogue about that. I know that I've encouraged Chief Monin, as we look at deployment strategies, that if stations could be adjusted to better protect the community, and this was some of the stuff we talked about at your last work session, does that mean that we need to have six pieces of equipment, or can we surplus a couple of them and buy one? Do we change the platform for, so for example, we've got a water tender and an engine at 36s as an example. Could we do a super engine or a tangent? which realistically, it's a type one attack engine with a 2000 gallon tank. So what it does is it basically just shifts that tender, puts it on an engine. Well, now we don't have to take up two base spaces. We have the ability to do it as an attack engine, but now we're much more nimble in the fleet. So would love to have some more dialogue with that as it goes forward. But the apparatus, as they stand from a maintenance strategy, they've got a lot of years left to them, and you could feel proud if we do want to surplus them off to either of the other agencies in the county, that it would be a good rig for them.
There's, what's the NIOSH ruling or
the NFPA?
Yeah, I'm sorry, NFPA.
NFPA recommends that you replace apparatus as frontline at 10 years, move it into secondary apparatus for another 5 years, and then remove it from your fleet at 20. That's not realistic for our use. That works for City of Springfield. It works for San Francisco. It works for Portland, Seattle, TVFNR. It works fine for that. For us, no, not on engine hours. And I appreciate, because we do have the increased distance that we travel. So I think it's good that Captain Lean reported on mileage. But as you well know, when you look at engines, for fire attack, you're looking at engine hours, not mileage, because when you're sitting working a structure fire, you could be running it for 3 hours, but putting no mileage on it. So you really want those engine hours, and they're all low. But yeah, NFPA is 10 years frontline, 5 years secondary reserve, and then after 20, kick it completely out of the fleet.
Surveying ratings plays a role too. We basically suffer points. Yeah, system when we have an aged apparatus, and that's actually what got us out of the old fleet, the dashes, which were running well. They passed their pump test, they were effective engines, they had 750 gallon tanks with 1,000 GPM pumps, they worked, and there was nothing wrong with them. But Survey and Ratings Bureau, as it happens to be, it decided they weren't worth anything, and it was hurting us on our ratings.
So that's an interesting point, and we can have some additional dialogue on this down the road. There are other ways to take care of this community from an insurance standpoint. Mm-hmm. If in other places of the country, I think there's two states that use Washington Survey and Ratings right now. They want to expand outside of it, but usually it's ISO is the other rating bureau. They are both both Washington Surveys and Ratings as well as ISO basically get funded by the insurance companies. So every time I've seen them default somewhere, it's in the benefit to the insurer, right? Not to the fire departments or the community. Our community, and this would be a much, much bigger downstream conversation, but there are communities that self-fund, right? If you have a strong community risk reduction, fire prevention programs, it saves community monies if you self-fund, because the fire loss, dollar loss from fires are low enough, and you've got enough property owners that you could fund your own insurance. But that is, that's a kind of a cutting edge piece. There's some communities that have done it, and it's been very successful, but that's a huge education piece. But you could save. And the piece that I think from a fire department leadership standpoint and a community risk reduction standpoint, we put effort into community risk reduction. Prevent the fire. We have the backbone in case something happens, because human nature is something's going to happen. But if you prevent it, dollar loss, life loss, that's what the community needs. Then you can say, I don't need to replace a piece of equipment that has another 20 years of life expectancy in it because of a silly arbitrary date line or mileage line. If it's maintained, no one gets rid of their car if it's working flawlessly. Because, or example for here, why did you replace tires because of a year date when the tires were fine? That doesn't make good fiscal sense. But that is a much bigger conversation. That's not where we are today. That would have to have the community get behind it. But there's other ways to protect this community and fund fire protection than where we are today. But that's a very long-term possible solution, but it could save this community thousands of dollars. That is what we have for staff reports. Be happy to answer any questions on anything that was presented.
I just have just a kind of curious, Tom Eads, whom we all know, isn't he a lieutenant as a volunteer lieutenant?
That is correct.
So is he going to maybe take a seat? Will he retain that rank, hence be able to run a shift?
So what we will do is, he was hired as an apparatus operator, so that will be his designator. But because he still maintains the credentialing as a lieutenant, we will be able to work him in class. He's going to continue to be a response officer as our backup as a San Juan 3 from a command standpoint, because he has the experience. But his official role is apparatus operator. But because, like I said, he maintains all of his credentials, we'll be able to use him in a command role and otherwise, which is why I think he's going to be so good at helping grow the organization. From now, an informal leader, but he's got all the context, and that's not going to go away. So we're fortunate that he still wants to do all that.
I thought he'd probably die behind that microphone there and dismantle, but I'm glad he hasn't.
And we all know that usually when Tom does it, it's standby for Paige. Well, last night when we announced it at drill, Lieutenant Venegas from the back of the room goes, stand by for praise. And then people congratulated Tom and he turned beet red, which was really rewarding for him.
Good. Good.
Anything further? Okay. Next item on the agenda is commissioner comments. Albert, do you have any comments to make before we adjourn?
Well, just that I'm going to be heading north with the RV sometime first part of April. So when I get close to that time, I'll let you know my schedule. Then we'll skip workshop sometime in that, you know, hopefully the first half of April.
Yeah, that works for me. I'm going to be heading to California in March.
Okay.
So I won't be. I'm not sure what my return date is yet. So it won't be the beginning of April. That's for sure.
That's true. Okay. That's fine. But that's all I have.
Okay. Dwight, did you want to make any comments?
I have none. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I've got a rather lengthy comment to go over. I'm just going to get started on it. So we as a fire commission, we've kept mostly quiet on the subject of the EMS levy. We haven't endorsed it or come out against it. The voting's almost completed now, so I feel it's a good time for me to come out and speak about all the information and vitriol that's being spread, mostly by those who have no background in fire or EMS. I've listened to many well-meaning and not so well-meaning private citizens who've taken social media and the press to express their views on the EMS levy before the voters. Well, that's the right. They have a right to do that. But some of the comments they've been have been demeaning to this organization, our firefighters, and our fire chief. Even more concerning are the attacks on some members of their families. I've read letters insulting the chief's leadership abilities and questioning his motives and his integrity. Comments have been wrongly made about this organization's role as EMTs and BLS providers, and actions taken on the scene of incidents by people unfamiliar with current standards of care. Our members have been accused of running a moped off the road, yet no police report was written, no damage was reported, no eyewitnesses come forward. The victim has even stated the fire engine did not cause an accident, yet the naysayers persist in perpetuating these lies. Our members have all been accused of damaging the shared boat, and because of that damage, we're no longer able to use it. Yet when the boat went in for repairs, the bill shows that the only damage was the props were a little bent, normal for its type of use, with no way of knowing who did it, how, where, and when it happened. Everything else wrong with the boat had to do with maintenance or lack thereof, something our department is not responsible for. The demeaning, derogatory, and insulting comments made about Chief Collins in the newspaper, social media, and local blogs is a disgrace to our community. Contrary to what has been written, Chief Collins did not take a stand publicly on the EMS levy, neither has the Fire Commission. He did not lead or was involved with the No on EMS levy campaign. He did not tell firefighters to purchase vote no signs, which, by the way, they ultimately decided not to do. He did not write or make any statements against the levy. He did not coach fire members on negative comments concerning EMS or the levy or any of its members. The chief has been accused of not having a plan for EMS members' inclusion, not having or sharing a budget, not having an organizational chart. Yet all of these are public record and readily available at headquarters for viewing or online. He's been accused of trying to bust the EMS union. There are three members of the department who are emeritus IAF members. And all two of us are here today. And Chief Collins spent 14 years as a member. Chief Collins and I are both current and active members in the International Association of Fire Chiefs. Our members under Chief Collins have never been denied the opportunity to organize. And yet he's been vilified by certain members of this community, people with some hidden agenda for doing all of these things without anyone, including the press, verifying their truthfulness. Chief Collins was chosen from a national search to fill the role of chief of department. He was vetted not only by the Fire Commission, but by town and county citizens, by members of the local law enforcement and fire agencies, and by elected officials of the town and county. He was the unanimous choice by every group. His approach to a possible merger was one factor in this election. San Juan Island Fire and Rescue has been protecting the lives and property of its residents since 1958. Regardless of the outcome of this election, we will continue to do what is right for this community and what we are legally obligated to do. Chief Collins works for the Fire Commission. If you don't like how the fire department is run, blame the commissioners, not the chief. Okay, having gotten that off my chest, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Meeting is adjourned.